ever since Johnny and Mavis had their little monster, I've been the happiest vampire in the world!
Are we sure he's a vampire?
Technically, you have until you're 5 to get your vampire fangs.
Oh, he'll get his fangs. He's just like me. Look at him!
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. Time for this week's edition of On the Mark with Mark Leonard. This week, Mark is talking about the film Hotel Transylvania 2.
Adam Sandler's live-action career has taken a nosedive, but his animated one is still going strong. In fact, Hotel Transylvania 2, along with the 2012 original, are now the two biggest worldwide hits on his resume, and you could do worse this holiday weekend than this latest Monster Mash, featuring Dracula, a werewolf, a green blob, the Invisible Man, and the Frankenstein monster, among others. Hey, it's creepy, and it's kooky. Dracula is a grandpa now, and 5-year-old grandson Dennis is the product of vampire daughter Mavis and goofy human Jonathan. But when the Count decides to test the boy to see if he's a bloodsucker or not, he has to do it on the sly, in other words, behind his daughter's cape. What follows is some bat transformation training and enrollment in a camp specializing in vampire awning skills. I got a kick out of the macabre hijinks, and the partially Sandler-penned screenplay is loaded with family-friendly monster references and funny one-liners. Is the little boy all human or simply a late fanger? I'm not telling, but with voice talent from stars like Kevin James, David Spade, Molly Shannon, and the great Mel Brooks, you are in for a respectable number of spooky laughs. Ed, happy Halloween.
Thanks, Mark, and as always, don't forget to check out Mark's terrific website. You can read all of his long-form reviews at reviewedbymarkleonard.wordpress.com, and Mark will be back next week. All right, let's stick with film. Let's stick with entertainment, and let's talk about how you watch and consume television, sitcoms, dramas, films, sports, the whole thing. For the past, 30-35 years, it has been customary to pay your local cable company X number of dollars a month. Well, when people first started getting cable back in the late 70s and very early 1980s, people were spending $25 to $40 a month, and that seemed like a lot. How much is your cable bill today? See? I pay, and it's never the same each month, which is very strange because of regulatory fees and everything else, about $125 to $130. Now, I don't have the top-tier package, nor do I have basic. I have something in the middle where I get a whole bunch of HBO channels, which, honestly, I don't watch very often because they don't put decent films on. A lot of it is just a bunch of B-level stuff that didn't make it in the last 5-6 years, and all of a sudden, here it is. If I see Janine Garofalo on another crummy movie one more time, I'm just never going to watch TV again, but you get my idea. And now, what you're getting on a lot of these cable channels are these ancillary digital channels that exist because if you were to get away from the cable and put one of these digital antennas up in your house, which don't really work, I tried it in my son's room, they have sub-channels. And there are new channels known as Antenna TV, Cozy, Buzzer, This, Movies. And they have to fill this stuff up with something. And usually it's just a lot of stuff from the 70s and the 80s. There's one now called Buzzer. And it's Match Game. And it's Family Feud. And it's Tattle Tales all day long. And you're paying now for this, when you can actually go on YouTube and find it free. If you want to sit there and watch Gene Rayburn and Richard Dawson for the fall of 75, you can watch them quip online and not have to pay for it. So that's one of the reasons why your cable bill is so expensive. The other reason is ESPN. Do you know, I saw something last week that with ESPN, about $7 to $9 out of your cable bill each month goes to Disney for ESPN. Disney owns ESPN. That is why sports has become so lucrative in this country, because the teams get a cut of that with these rights fees that ESPN pays. Even if you hate sports, even if you never watch professional sports, you're paying for it. And people have always said, well, why can't we just do a la carte? I just want this channel, this channel, and this channel. Of course they were never going to do that, because then they're not making a lot of money out of you. But what people are doing now is they are walking away from their cable companies. But are they biting off their own nose to spite their face? And here's why. A lot of folks, mainly millennials, this mysterious group that came of age when the centuries changed, and the 20-year-olds and the people in their young 30s walking around now, everything they do in their life goes through their phone and or their tablet. So they are saying goodbye to cable, just like they said goodbye to their hardline phone in their apartments or houses, and they're getting what they want online. Hulu, used to be free. I enjoyed Hulu because it had some classic TV shows that I enjoyed that I didn't see anywhere else for quite a while. Netflix. These services that charge you to watch their stuff. And their stuff is stuff that people want to see. The latest sitcoms. And the best part of it is you watch it when you want. But let's think about what these people are doing. All of these things come with a subscription. So it's $9 for this, $10 for this. Oh, you want that? Oh, you want the Major League Baseball games? Okay, we can do that, but that's $149 for the season. Oh, you want the basketball? Well, okay, we could do that for $139 for the season. All of a sudden, you're getting nickel and dimed or 10 and 20 for all of these additional services. So what are you getting? Okay, you're getting the convenience of being able to watch these shows when you want and what you want to watch, because there's a lot of stuff out there, and a lot of it's good there. A lot of it is just garbage, let's be honest. But you're watching it on a crowded subway through earbuds on a 4-inch screen. Is that how you were meant to enjoy television? Wait a minute. Think about what the TV, now I'm not talking about TV as a medium, I'm talking about TV as an appliance. Think about what the TV has gone through in the last, I don't know, let's go back 15 years. Do you remember all of a sudden TVs got really, really, really big, and all of a sudden you had these big screens, but you had these big boxy picture tubes hanging out the back? All right, I'm talking about 2001, 2002, 2003. You would go down to Best Buy or whatever, and you could have a big screen TV at a reasonable price, $350, $400, but you would give yourself a hernia trying to pick this thing up, and you needed a big place to put it. Then, around 2007, here comes HDTV. And it was that mysterious thing. Oh my goodness, look at that. It looks like a movie screen. I feel like I'm at the drive-in. Look behind it. It's so skinny. Oh my God, it's hanging on a wall. And that was the new way to enjoy television. And it was beautiful. And it was gorgeous. And if you're someone of my age that grew up in the 70s into the 80s, and you went from the clunky floor model television with that circular rounded screen, which was weird to look at in the first place, wasn't it weird to see your mom go over and spray Pledge on the TV and treat it like it was a fine piece of furniture? And then in the 80s, we ended up with the boxy 19-inch television sets that were on those rollerway carts everywhere. And that's how we enjoyed TV for the most part in the 80s, with the push buttons for the channels. And then the cable box came along and you didn't need them anyway. Anywho, then we get into the big boxy things through the 90s and into the 2000s. Then we have this. And it's this big, gorgeous 45, 50-inch screen. And everything is as clear as a bell. You can count the number of pores on the face of George Clooney as you're watching ER. It was wonderful. But now, we're watching shows, movies, everything on these 4-inch screens. And I watch on my tablet. Terrific. On a 7.5-inch screen in a cab as you're standing there holding this thing in front of you. Really? Don't you want to enjoy this? Isn't the idea of watching these shows to relax you, to take you away? It's escapism. And there you are, shoulder to shoulder in a subway somewhere, watching Orange is the New Black. There you are in a cab, soaking wet, just getting out of the rain, watching Modern Family. Really? And what are you saving? Hulu, Netflix, all of these other services that want your money to watch their subscription service, HBO. Millennials don't want to pay for cable, so they want it on their phone. They're not getting it for free. So when you add all these things up, plus data usage, for these folks that didn't think ahead and buy enough gigs and get an unlimited talk and text and data plan, all of a sudden they might have a $300, $350 phone bill coming in each month, plus their Hulu, plus their Netflix, and they're spending more. So sometimes when you think you're trying to beat the system, you only end up beating yourself. What if you're pregnant? Of course, you still need to be entertained. You still need to watch your TV, whether on the big screen or the little screen. But should you be exercising? Well, ACE-certified personal trainer Lisa Ritchie talks about it in this week's Fit in a Minute.
Women who are currently exercising and don't have pregnancy complications can continue their regular workout routine after getting a doctor's clearance. Even if you've been sedentary, a moderate walking or swimming program can help ease your delivery. Studies have shown that women who exercise during pregnancy may have shorter labor, fewer cesarean deliveries, less fetal distress, less unhealthy weight gain, easier weight loss postpartum, and an overall feeling of well-being. Lower fasting blood sugar levels are common in pregnancy, so make sure you're eating enough healthy carbohydrates. The risk of dehydration is increased during exercise in pregnant women, so drink plenty of water. Be careful during activities that require balance. The center of gravity will continually shift as pregnancy progresses. Pregnancy creates a hormone called relaxin, which causes joints to loosen up. Be careful not to overstretch. Avoid activities that require lying flat on your back. And monitor your heart rate and breathing. A pregnant woman's heart rate should, on average, not exceed 140 beats per minute. Always consult your doctor before starting any exercise program. I'm ACE certified personal trainer Lisa Ritchie, and that's your Fit in a Minute. Back to you, Ed.
Thanks, Lisa. This is America Weekend, and I'm Ed Kalenge.
America Weekend.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new law that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.